Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before, I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thanks. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 073 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast, recorded on April 30th, 2012. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. First, I have to say this is wacko for me. It's after 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and ordinarily I record 9, 10 in the morning, so it's very odd. I had an errand to run that cascaded into an avalanche of things. So I just got back. Sweet little Sealy, who you might hear muttering in the background, who I hope is falling asleep, and he does talk in his sleep, was quiet while I was out, and he kind of went wild with his angry bird noises before. So I'm hoping we don't have angry bird again. But he's muttering, and I can't help that. But other than that, I've got some food cooking in the kitchen. I got Erex out of the apartment, so I'm going to try to get this done in as efficient and quiet way as possible, but I can't help Celia's noise. He's too cute anyway. So how was your week? I am happy to report that Erex is doing fabulously after and despite his biopsy. Of course, I wouldn't have shoved him out of the apartment if he was still recuperating. Thank you for all the prayers and good wishes. We appreciate them. We do not have biopsy results yet, but we are hopeful that the news will be good. I know I mentioned last week that I might skip this week's podcast if he was not feeling well. That's not the case, fortunately. However, I want to leave that little caveat that on short notice, I might have to skip a show. Probably not next week, but perhaps in future. This time it's an issue for me. I have to see someone, and it's a thyroid issue, and it's quite likely that fine or coarse needle biopsies will be called for, and I understand it's possible that when they are done, there's a chance of affecting vocal cords. I don't know it of a certainty, but it's what I hear. So the initial consultation about all this matter will be next Monday. I'm going to do what I can to record the show Sunday night. And maybe I'll edit and mix it and get it up as usual on Monday, I hope. I doubt that anything invasive will take place before the middle of the month. However, if I tweet that I can't do a show on short notice, you can attribute it to my misbehaving thyroid. Actually, it's behaving fine. What I'm concerned about is, after a large weight loss like I have had volitionally and that I worked well at and accomplished, I don't want them to start messing with my thyroid and make me have to buy fat clothes. I just don't want it, but we'll see what happens. On to less anatomical topics. I want to say hi to Yoshi, who I met this week, who posed a question to me that I'm taking up in this week's Question of the Week segment. It's totally killing me that I still haven't changed my strings. I am jonesing for new DRs and haven't had the time. I just have been crazy busy. So I can't do anything about that right now. Oh, sure, I changed students' strings, but I didn't have time for my own. Wow, they're sounding just terrible. So I hope I'll get to it this week, maybe even tonight. Because if not, I probably won't have time until Friday. And my schedule for Friday is up in the air right now, so if I don't get it done tonight, I don't know when I'm going to get it done. How often do you change your strings? If you have a good ear, you'll know when to change them. If you don't have a good ear, it depends upon how much you play or when strings break. I know I visited this topic many shows ago, so I'm not going to go into it right now. One of the personal projects I'm in the midst of is scanning a lot of my sheet music and storing it on my computer and also on a thumb drive, just in case of, dare I even utter it, a crash. I don't even want to think about it. Macs are real stable anyway. I have never had a Mac. Well, I had a Mac crash because someone, who I won't mention, who's not in the apartment right now, did something to it. but a Mac doesn't crash by itself with a normal Mac user's use. That's been my experience anyway. So we won't even visit that possibility. A few years ago, Dot and Jerry gave us, well, really me, an all-in-one that I use when I want to print something in color. Otherwise, I use a laser printer. The all-in-one is an inkjet. Anyway, I have music overflowing all over our teeny apartment. I have 3.5 file cabinet drawers dedicated to music, but the remaining drawers house other extremely important files, so I have to do something with what doesn't fit. Actually, a lot of what is in the file cabinets will also get scanned, too, eventually, to make room for other things. It's so time-consuming. Of course, a few days after Christmas, the year we received the all-in-one, I made the wise statement, I should start scanning any music I work with that isn't a book and gradually scan all of my personal and student music. It was a brilliant thing to say, but that was a couple of years ago. So this is yet another to-do list hanger-oner to which I am finally getting, and it will be a process. This is going to take a long time. I don't have a Michael update today, but I can tell you he's not accelerating tempo any longer. I have to think it's the good old metronome's influence. I'll have to talk to him about it. This week in the show, there is one student in the spotlight. The question of the week is from Yoshi, who wants my input about him learning to play the guitar. This is an interesting one. News is about some great guitar giveaways, and the Take Note segment is about protecting the finish of your guitar now that short sleeve and no sleeve weather is approaching in my hemisphere, anyway. Speaking of my hemisphere, two things I have to mention are keep humidifying your axe unless you live in an extremely humid climate and don't use air conditioning. And can you guess what the other thing I have to mention is? Well, if you're in the New York metro area or the northern New Jersey area, make it a point to visit the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey for the Les Paul in Mahwah exhibit. You have just over a month to see the full exhibit before it is reduced from the feature that it has been since September to a significantly smaller installation. The museum is open Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday from 1 to 5. And I am certain that they will accommodate private time in the museum for a group, if at all possible. They did so for me. That's it for today's intro, and let's keep moving along to the student spotlight. In the ever-so-toasty warm glow of the student spotlight this week is Arno. Not only is he a busy working husband and father, he plays drums with two bands. Guitar is his third instrument, and you who have followed the podcast from the very beginning also know Arno as the bat guy, because one night a bat was flying around the living room while we were trying to have a lesson. That's ancient history, and if you haven't seen the pictures way, way back in the first year's worth of podcasts, I think it was in the first year, take a look. Those pictures aren't going to be up forever. So anyway, Arno's the bat guy. And this week, despite having to travel last week, being in the midst of trying to sell his home, and having lots of spring sports activities with his children with which his children are involved, he did excellently. Okay, I'll admit it, he neglected one thing I asked him to do, but I have his assurance it was strictly a time availability issue, not a petulance issue. So nice playing, dude. You did a great job. You students who have all the time and raw talent to become monster guitarists, yet who lack any inclination to exert yourself and expend any energy on your playing, shame on you. If Arno can find time and incentive to play, you certainly can. The blight of laziness that has stricken the under 25 crowd is absolutely frightening to me. Stop scaring me and put some time in. Now, let's move along to this week's question of the week. question of the week is from Yoshi, who I met this weekend. He was so funny, saying how his parents made him learn the violin from a very young age because they didn't have a piano, and all Asian kids are, or at least at the time he was a young guy, were expected to learn to play piano or violin. I put Yoshi at about 30-something. He speaks a couple of languages, is pretty busy, he's very successful, and wants to learn to play the guitar. He was very serious when he asked if I thought he'd play guitar well because he played violin when I was a child. And although he hasn't played violin in many years, in his opinion, he could pick it up tomorrow. And though his reflexes would be slow, he thinks he would not struggle at all much with technique or reading music notation. I've had tons of piano players and pianists, that's a joke, ask me a similar question, but never a violinist. I told him that I have had some school-age students who played violin in school and who didn't like it much, who have done well with guitar. If you don't know much about the violin, it's a four-stringed instrument that is fretless and that is tuned to four of the strings of the guitar, however, in opposite order. It's very weird. Violin strings, like all the orchestral stringed instruments, are tuned highest to lowest, E, A, D, G. Guitar strings are tuned lowest to highest, E, A, D, G, B, E. So there's the shared high E string, and although there are no frets on the violin fingerboard, a violinist who has played for a while quickly and instinctively adapts to what I call the finger per half step hand position and left-hand fingering assignments. So unlike pianists who have a real hard time with that half step per finger because they're used to playing notes right next to each other, one finger to the next finger that are a whole step apart, pianists have a lot of difficulty with that. So the violinists are not distracted by overtones that they hear when they play the guitar, the way some other instrument players or non-players are distracted. It was quite interesting. Last week, Tipton inquired about how you stop strings from sounding after you've played them and moved on to other notes, because he was extremely distracted by it. I explained that unless there's a written rest or a staccato dynamic, you don't. That's part of the beauty of a stringed instrument, is all those overtones playing, especially if you have a really good instrument. Yoshi, having played violin, would not be surprised nor distracted by those glorious overtones that seem to ring forever. Anyway, Yoshi will probably have a very good vertical attack of the strings because he has played the violin, and if not, he will be easy to correct. Whether finger picking or using a plectrum, training his right hand will be the new experience, but I don't think plectrum picking is such a far cry theoretically from bowing. We even use the same marks to indicate down picking as down bowing and up picking as up bowing. So that will be familiar to him. I told Yoshi that I thought his violin background would probably benefit him, especially at the outset when students who haven't been afforded the understanding of having played another instrument, or especially another stringed instrument, have so much new information to process. Yoshi doesn't live near where I teach, but we're going to stay in touch, and I will counsel him about some of the teachers he attempts to contact and the information he gets from them. I'm going to do my best to match him with a good instructor. I will keep you posted if he takes the plunge. Yoshi, thanks so much for the wonderful question. If you have a question that you would like me to address on the podcast, please email it to me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. That's all spelled traditionally, guitartechnique@gmail.com. If I use your question, I will be glad to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. My current stock of podcast picks is dwindling, and I will be reordering them in the next, I don't know, month, two, three, something like that. I haven't decided whether to open up voting on the next color to my students or you podcast listeners, or whether I will just exercise sheer autonomy in the matter. We'll see what happens. Now, let's move on to this week's news. in the news this week is an opportunity for people to win guitars. I like that. Free guitars are good. The first thing I'm going to mention, oh, there's my Angry Bird. Silly! Anyway, the six people are going to have an opportunity to win a guitar that was recently discussed on the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, the Gresh Rancher, which is a reissue of the beloved guitar of the 50s. I know I discussed this in episode 064 back in February. And a little news blurb from Gresh. Gresh Rancher is back and better than ever, and here's your chance to win one. Six lucky winners will lasso a brand new G5022CE Rancher Jumbo Cutaway Electric from the new Gresh Roots collection. This Rancher model is richly resonant. It's a modern take on the classic 1950s era Gresh acoustic, noted for its expansive sound and its distinctive triangular sound hole. Just an aside, if you're a guitar fashionista, you might really like to have one of these in your collection. Other premium features include an elegant Venetian cutaway, solid spruce top with scalloped X bracing, flame maple back and sides, mahogany neck, 21 fret rosewood fingerboard with neoclassic thumbnail inlays, 1940s style Gresh logo pickguard, compensated bridge, gold-plated hardware, deluxe die-cast tuners, and a beautiful gloss Savannah Sunset finish. Onboard Fishman electronics include Sonicore undersaddle pickup and Isis Plus preamp system with onboard tuner. Battery life indicator is there also in the tuner, which is a very good thing because if your battery is crummy, your tuner will not be accurate. And there are controls for volume, treble, bass, and phase. It's a return of a classic, and it can be yours if you sign up to win now. I must say this, as always, if you are younger than 18, do not fill out anything online without the knowledge and consent of your parent or guardian. If you enter, I hope you win, and if you do, please contact me and I will interview you for an upcoming show. While we're on the topic of guitar giveaways, let me enlighten you about another one in case the Western flavor of the Rancher just doesn't move you. And it doesn't move everybody. That's a given. Perhaps the alternative and hard-rocking sound of a Fender Blacktop Jazzmaster butters your parsnips, as my favorite Law and Order criminal intent villainous used to say. I mentioned this guitar line in a former podcast, too. That was, I think, episode 069, and I was mentioning, in particular, the baritone. That was also the show in which I confessed my weakness for low-pitched strings. Fender is offering you an opportunity to become one of the two winners of autographed Sonic Youth Blacktops. One is a Jazzmaster HS, and there's also a Classic Player Jazzmaster Special. Two winners will each receive one of the sleek Sonic Youthified guitars. Both guitars saw onstage action during the band's November 2011 South American tour with alt indie godfathers Thurston Moore, Lee Rinaldo, each rocking one. Although both Jazzmasters started the tour in pristine brand new condition, the protective film wasn't even removed from their pickguards, they were marked by the band's tech with tape and notes before being gently used on stage. And the gently used is in quotes, so if you know Sonic Youth, you know to what extent they've been gently used. The protective film remains on the pickguards. However, one ever so important detail. Both guitars have been signed by all five band members. Thurston Moore, Lee Rinaldo, bassist guitarist Kim Gordon, bassist Mark Eibold, and drummer Steve Shelley. But a couple of signatures are on the protective pickguard film, which would ordinarily be removed. So the winners can preserve all autographs because Fender is going to include an extra pickguard with each guitar. White for the black Blacktop Jazzmaster HS and a tortoise shell one for the black Classic Player Jazzmaster Special. So enter to win them. I will put the links up on my site And again, if you win any of these and you're a podcast listener, please let me know and I will interview you about your win. And that'll be my pleasure, and I'm sure everyone will want to hear how great it is to have won a super cool guitar. That's it for this week's news. Let's move along to the Take Notes segment. My Take Note topic this week is about your effect on your guitar, especially in warm weather. I don't know about you, but where we live, except for a short cold snap we've had over the past few days with frost warnings at night, things have been warming up and spring is fully upon us. With spring's warm days and summer's even warmer ones, we're all starting to strip off the long-sleeve sweaters and hoodies and long-sleeve shirts and are now baring our arms in t-shirts or sleeveless shirts. That means more arms are against the finishes of guitars. And that means that the finishes of more guitars are getting broken down, if not altogether destroyed, by those arms. My guitars are old. I'm old, but my guitars are very old. The newest instrument I have is over 20 years old. The newest instrument that I bought new is over 20 years old. My oldest, of which I am not the original owner, is probably 45 or 50 years old. None of my guitars have compromised finishes, and I have every variety. I have matte finish guitars, I have French polish, and I have shellac. Okay, it's confession time again. Since the first crummy guitar I ever owned, which was bought in a record department of a big store, I have kept my instruments, and all my stuff, frankly, in pristine condition. And the condition of which it was in when it was purchased. That just is across the board. It's one of my personality things. I mean, whether it's electronics, whether it's furniture, whether it's whatever. And I mean, I'm not really hyper about it. I just take appropriate care. As regards the guitar, that isn't to say they're without the occasional ding, or even in one case, one was dropped and it's an inexpensive guitar, so I didn't repair it. But there's a split between the soundboard and the side purfling. So that one's not pristine, but the finish is pristine. That's what I'm trying to get to. I don't recall my first and most excellent guitar instructor, to whom I owe so much of my personality development, ever suggesting that I protect the guitar finish from the oils in my skin. But what I do recall is playing in a guitar show very shortly after I started lessons, maybe within the first year of beginning lessons. And my grandmother made me a cool, and I mean that in temperature and in visually, as in visually cool, paisley hot pink and green dress. It was absolutely awesome. I actually wish I still had the dress. It was early summer, and the dress was sleeveless. I recall asking my Nana if she had any fabric left over, and she said yes. I asked her to make me a sleeve. I don't know where I got the idea, but I asked her, you know, can you make me a sleeve? And she thought I wanted sleeves on the dress, and I told her no, I just wanted her to make me a sleeve out of the fabric, not attached to the dress, but out of the dress material. In my mind, I was imagining playing on stage and my sticky perspiring arm making a burp sound as it slid across the soundboard of my axe. Now, it had never actually happened when I practiced at home, but I was trying to envision this first time playing on stage. It was not going to be an air-conditioned venue. I knew the venue. Then I thought I should practice with a sleeve, and I asked my brother for the sleeves of his shirts, from which he used to cut the sleeves off every summer anyway. It was a style back then. I don't know, it might even still be a style, but it was a style when we were in our youths. I can tell you, I still have an assortment of sleeves. They're right in the drawer next to where I record this podcast. Most don't match whatever I wear. I have one with a lace ruffle, some that are just plain, and some of my sleeves are actually just socks with the feet cut out of them. What I'm trying to encourage you to do when you play with bearish arms, at the very least, is to have a piece of fabric or a washcloth or something like that that you can just lay across the side of the lower bout right over which you place your arm when you play. In that case, you'll have a layer of something between you and, or rather your skin and the finish of the guitar. If you like more of your arm covered, a sleeve is perfect. And you're not bothered by that small cloth barrier falling off as you shift or turn a page or, you know, scratch your head or whatever. Cut the sleeves off an old shirt. Or if you don't have an old shirt, I don't have any old clothes in my wardrobe at the moment, so I don't have a shirt I could cut the sleeves off of. And E-Rex doesn't even have a shirt I could cut the sleeves off of if I wanted one. But the next economically wise thing to do is go to a thrift shop. Get a shirt that doesn't matter to you, chop the sleeves off. Or if you know someone who sews, ask them to make one for you. Or if you really want to go economically, take some sock that's at least, you know, up to the middle of your calf height, chop the foot off. It's a sleeve that requires no fussing with. The sock thing is really the best if you don't mind that it's close contact to your skin. It depends on how warm it is where you play. Sometimes the air that's able to circulate around your arm when you have a traditional sleeve on is a little more comfortable. If you don't mind that the sleeve is right on your arm, a sock is great. It doesn't fall off. You can move freely. It's just a fabulous thing. So I hope you haven't already ruined the finish of any of your guitars, most especially if you have one with an expensive finish. This is counsel I give all my students, and none of them really take it. I'm different, but my guitars look great. So that's that. That wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 073. So let's move along to the outro. Keep in mind, there is a whole calendar of Les Paul events coming up and coming up quickly. I'm going to run through them really quickly. First of all, Tuesday, May 1st, that's tomorrow night as I record. It might even be today if you're listening on Tuesday, May 1st. There's film night, Les Paul and the trio at Fat Tuesdays. That's going to be at the Malwa Museum. This is the time when, if you go to the museum's website, you can purchase raffle tickets, which are now on sale. They are for two signed guitars. The guitars are simply amazing. The drawing for those guitars are going to be on June 9th, which is also the day of the birthday gala. That's the one event that's not going to be taking place at the museum. It's going to be at Ramapo College. I will put a link on my website to that. And then there's also a live auction during the birthday gala. They will be auctioning many Les Paul collectibles. The winning raffle tickets will be drawn for the two signed guitars, and those are going to be able to be purchased from now until the event. And I'm guessing that you don't have to be present to win. I'm 90% sure of that. Don't quote me. Check with the museum to be sure. Just a little extra info on the June 9th drawings. This is going to take place at Les Paul's 97th birthday gala at the Ramapo College in the Trustees Pavilion. The first prize is an Epiphone E-Series guitar signed by Les Paul, Lou Palo, and many of the guitarists who played with Les Paul at the Iridium around 1989. Second prize is a Fender Stratocaster series signed by Les Paul and Steve Miller in 2006. The donation to be part of those raffles, that each ticket is $25, and you know, you can purchase as many of them as you want. You can get them at the museum. There is also going to be this live auction, also on June 9th, at the Les Paul Birthday Gala, for a white solid body electric guitar Stratocaster that Benson and Les Paul autographed. Okay, now that's George Benson. It was owned by a private collector, and it's going to be auctioned off. Then there's going to be another white Stratocaster signed by Eric Clapton that is owned by a private collector, and the market price on that guitar is $5,000 to $7,000. I have all the data that'll be in the show notes, the model number, etc. Then there's going to be an Epiphone LP100 Les Paul solid body electric guitar with fabric case signed by Les Paul. And it was signed, I believe, in 2006 when he was 91 years old and played by Rusty Paul in 2012 at the museum. This is owned by a private collector. Market price is probably around $5,000. Now, these are all things that you can... that are going to be auctioned, so you may pay less, you may pay more. There's a framed colored picture of Les Paul with Gibson guitars. This was taken at the Iridium at one of his last photos, and he was mimicking Einstein. Market price is probably around $650 for this picture. That's $650. Then there's a gramophone record player with 78 records, signed on the speaker by Les Paul, Lou Paolo, John Coliani, and you know how I feel about John Coliani if you listened to me last week. We don't know what year it was, but probably this was also part of a private collection, and the expected market price for those would be somewhere between $1,750 and $3,700. There's another framed picture of Les Paul that's autographed. It's a very rare photo, especially with Les wearing a sweater. So that's private. It's owned by a private collector. Sorry about that. Market price, $650. Then there's a Beatles poster at Shea Stadium. Beatles in person at Shea Stadium, promoted by Sid Bernstein, signed and authenticated by him, with photograph of him signing the poster. That was in 1965 or possibly 66. It's owned by a private collector. That's worth somewhere between $400 and $600. There's also going to be another framed poster, Stones World Famous Traveling poster. So this is really, really interesting. It doesn't say that it's signed, but it's a 1965 and August 66, owned by a private collector, $1,200 to $2,000 value. So those are some of the things that will be at this auction at the Les Paul Birthday Bash. Keep humidifying your axes unless you have them in an environment where they are continuously subjected to at least 40% humidity. I hope I get a badly needed string change this week. We will see. I am absolutely jonesing for a new set of DRs on one of my guitars in particular. Arno, you did great. Congratulations, dude. I have extremely high expectations for you on Wednesday. No pressure, just telling you. Yoshi, I think your violin experience is going to be very profitable for embarking upon learning guitar. And I have to thank you for the humorous way you related to me your experience in your Asian home and being forced to play the violin. Go for the guitar now that you're an adult, dude. I think you'll do fine. Check out the guitar giveaways. Gresh is giving away 6 Ranchers, and Fender is giving away 2 Sonic Youth Jazzmasters. Please, if you're under 18, check with parents or adult guardians before doing anything of that nature and signing up for the possibility of winning those guitars online. Protect your guitar's finishes by letting a washcloth, hunk of fabric, sleeve, or sock come between you in warm weather. Keep those guitars humidified. That's the hardest thing to remember when it's hot out. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 073 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to everything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget, my website is Guitar Technique guitartutor.com, all spelled traditionally, which goes guitartechniqueTutor.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me a question for the Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I'm not a tweeting maniac, but I do tweet to update what's going on with me guitar-wise, and I retweet what I receive that I think is interesting. On my homepage and the podcast page of my website, you can find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways and or to subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time.